Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emma McMahon. Thank you for tuning in. Please do rate, review, and subscribe. And on YouTube, like, give us a thumbs up, and also subscribe on that channel as well. Joining me today is absolutely no one. Yeah, I'm going solo here. And we're just going to talk about the Toronto Raptors, where they are, and kind of look at the positives that we've seen from the season. Because over the past couple games, you know, I'm seeing it on Twitter, a lot of negativity around this team, where they are, where they're going, the schemes, the future. And I think it's important that we take a step back and look at where we are as a franchise and the strides that have been made by particular players going into this season and also throughout this season, because there has been a lot. There is a lot of positivity around this franchise right now. It's just we are in a bit of a transition period that perhaps some people aren't really willing to admit to. I mean, Masai Ujiri said it from the get-go that this is a building year. There's going to be bumps. Well, we're in a bump. We're in a funk. This road trip has not gone according to plan. I'm not sure if some people felt like the Raptors had a really good chance against the Golden State Warriors. Myself, I did not. I didn't watch the game live. I was following the score a little bit. I actually chose to watch Succession instead. It was a great episode. I highly recommend it. And then I watched the game the next day, and it pretty much went about as I expected. And it's no different than the Utah game, too. You have two teams who know exactly who they are, they know exactly what they're trying to do, possession by possession. Their role players know what their responsibilities are. Their star players are stars. Their team identity is solidified. They're firing all cylinders, right? They are in, you know, stage 3-4 of their plan when it comes to trying to win a championship. Toronto Raptors, they're in like stage 2 or something, right? Because you have some players already who have won championships and you know that they can get to that level, right? But the other players that they're bringing on, rookies, second-year players, an assorted amount of 22-year-olds, all players that are finding their way in the league still, and that they have a lot to learn, and they know they have a lot to learn. And so we can't, I guess, forget the bigger picture here and the perspective that is needed, which is we are trying to build something great, and it's going to take a few years to get there. Now, sometimes I think that 5-0 stretch was kind of to their detriment in some ways. Obviously, in the grand scheme, I mean, they're 8-10. They don't go 5-0. Their record's a lot worse. Trying to get a playoff spot, top six spot, play-in, all that, obviously. But once that happened, the expectations of the fan base changed just a little bit. And I'm guilty a little bit too, right? I understand. I mean, the team goes 5-0. There was a couple of really good wins in that. But when you go on the road and you face some really good teams, and then you got to do it night in, night out, it's a bit of a different picture. And that's when you start understanding the grind of an NBA season. And obviously the Raptors, like, we haven't seen them healthy yet. And we're going to get into that in a moment. But seeing this team fully healthy, and then 2 weeks into that fully healthy stretch, which I think we're going to get at least some fully healthy very soon. And then we'll see if they can stay healthy for a few weeks. And then we can really start evaluating what this team is, because they're just missing too many core pieces to what they're trying to do on the defensive end. Their defense is their identity. Anyway, let's get to the players, all right? Because as I said, all of them have made small strides in small areas of their games. And we should acknowledge those during this difficult stretch, so we know that they're getting better. It's a matter of the team getting a bit more cohesive, finding their way. And let's start at the head of the snake, Fred VanVleet. Okay. Fred VanVleet, he has probably exceeded every expectation that we could have had for him, because he's been terrific. He's been our leader on the court, off the court. His leadership, he's taken on a bigger role in every which way now that Kyle Lowry is not here, and he's embraced it and he's accepted it. It's kind of a harder role to solidify with yourself, because, you know, individual skills, you can kind of control those a little bit more, but leadership, it takes like trial and error. You're dealing with people, and you got to get them to trust your leadership. And we saw a great example of it in that Kings game, right? He was so vocal. You know, the Raptors, they had a great game. I mean, they beat the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento Kings, I mean, they just fired their coach game after. So that kind of shows you where they were. But Freddie was so loud. He was so vocal. You could hear him hooting and hollering throughout the game. And I think that's kind of something that he took on, that role of being that person in that game. They were coming off that Utah game, which wasn't great. And he wanted to uplift the spirits, right? The Raptors, again, they're still a very much a vibes team. And he said, all right, we're down bad a little bit frustrated. We're on a road trip. A lot of guys are experiencing something like on the road that they haven't really done before, playing a lot of minutes, being away from home for like 18 days or whatever it is. Let's get the positivity up. Let's start really focusing on getting back to who we are. And that is a high energy, high octane offense in some ways, lots of transition. And let's just get to smiling. Let's be happy again. You know, let's get back to doing that stuff. And I was happy that he did that. I was happy that he was doing more of that. Another example in that Utah game, Chris was on the bench and he was talking to Fred and they were kind of working through something on the defensive end. Chris was kind of motioning that some guys weren't doing their jobs. And Freddie just looked at him. He's just like, yo. And he gave him the gab symbol. Talk on defense. And in that Sacramento game, which is the following game from that Utah one, man, they were loud. They were a loud team on the defensive end. They were talking nonstop. And I mean, the Warriors game, it is what it is. Like, they're facing a team that is just, I mean, they're a championship contender. They're going to get Klay Thompson and James Wiseman back pretty soon. And that's a team that is poised to make a championship run. So I can't even compare them to the Toronto Raptors. Like, you can't compare the Toronto Raptors to the Golden State Warriors. But just with the leadership side of Fred, he has acknowledged that probably the hardest part of dealing with Kyle being gone is the defensive end, right? Offense, I mean, they're a decent offensive team right now. They're not great, but they're okay. If you're middle of the pack, that's a fine offense. But defensively, I mean, he knows that the identity of this team is defense. And if they're not delivering on that end of the court, things are not going to go well. They're not going to be the same team that they should be. And that's an area where he really missed Kyle, right? Because Kyle was the person who was in those rooms late at night, watching film and getting scouting reports. He was the one calling out plays on the defensive end, right? And now that had to be Fred. And so he's taken on that leadership role. And I'm sure it's been a bit of a transition for him, but he's doing the best he can. And I don't think his defense obviously hasn't fallen off at all. He's still the best team defender on the team, possibly one of the best in the league. And Fred's done a great job on the defensive end. And then on offense, this is where it gets really fun because he's a much more confident player on that end. You know, when the pick and roll, when it comes to their offense, he's manipulating screens better, which has been one of the things that he didn't really do too well earlier on in his career. That was one of the things that was kind of hard for him, especially, you know, you think about his chemistry with Serge off the bench back in the day, and they just didn't have it. He couldn't figure it out. But now he's making the right passes. He's doing it nonstop. It's been really impressive to see. And don't you dare put a big on Fred VanVleet, okay? Because I love seeing it. It's really funny. Keep on doing your drop coverages if you want. I mean, I'm looking at you, Washington, and who else was it? Utah and Philly. They didn't win all those games, but Freddie dropped, you know, 20 plus in all those games. That's because don't put a big on Fred VanVleet, because that's barbecue chicken. That's barbecue chicken nonstop. And even other point guards too. Like, when Freddie has to turn it on, he can do it. That's why he's 15th right now in fourth quarter scoring. And I mean, it's early on in the season. I get it, right? But that shows like his mentality is that he wants to get the team to a good spot over the course of a few quarters. And then when it's showtime, like, he's ready to turn it on. He's got like deceptive quickness. He switches gears really, really fast. And you got to love it. He's doing everything right. Everything right. And you can't ask for much more from him other than the rest of his team kind of getting more of the defensive concepts and kind of reaching his level when it comes to offensive IQ. And I think that's going to come in time. Let's move on to Pascal Siakam. Oh, what a polarizing character this man is. You got one group of people saying that he's terrible. Another group of people saying that you got to give him time. First off, he does need time, right? But some of his shortcomings on the defensive end right now, it's a bit uncharacteristic for him. It's not something he normally does. You know, the missing coverages, the kind of lackadaisical bits in coverages and not really following through on closeouts and not anticipating the way that we're used to him doing it. Those are a bit puzzling, but I still want to give him more time to get accustomed to playing at, I guess, game speed again and exerting himself on the defensive end. He's, again, he's still really early on to this process for him, and he needs energy for offense, right? He's a big part of the offense too. So pacing yourself in an NBA game is really key. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, that over a couple seasons, we've seen him be one of the best team defenders in the NBA, one of the best ISO defenders in the NBA. So I imagine he'll get back to that point. But offensively, another area where he's a little bit polarizing, he had that really, really real stinker against Utah. And overall, I think over the past two games, we've seen him get closer to who he's going to be. And that's one area where I do want to see him continue to grow in the mid-range game, right? Because in that Utah game, and especially in that Golden State game too, is that teams are going to find ways to keep him out of the paint. And that was one of my concerns with OG Anunoby out, and I expressed it on our previous podcast that with OG out, like, the floor is going to get kind of shrunk for Pascal, and he's going to get extra attention. Like Draymond Green, geez, in that Warriors game, when he wasn't guarding Pascal, he was kind of doubling Pascal. Like, you had Scottie and Ken Burch on the floor with them. And those guys aren't three-point shooters, right? So pretty much you had the best help defender in the NBA helping on Pascal, right? And he had to make a lot of mid-range jumpers, and he had a decent game. He got off to a slow start, and that's okay. But that mid-range game, if he's able to solidify that area of his scoring, he can become a three-level scorer. And if he does that, it really does diversify who he is as an offensive player, because he already has like this stride length when he's driving to the bucket. His post-up moves obviously are great, and his three-point shot seems to have returned. So I think we're closer to Pascal being that 23, 24, 25 point per game scorer than maybe I'd originally thought earlier on in the season. I wasn't sure if he was going to really be able to find that mid-range game, but obviously we have to give him that time and that leeway to show us that, you know, he can get there. And what's also really encouraging is just like his handle seems to be a little bit more, he's more confident in that part of his game, and he's able to use it to orchestrate his mid-range game, which is, again, it's a game changer for him, because mid-range, if he's able to make that part of a go-to spot for him on the offensive end, I mean, who's going to stop him then? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to reach Pascal when he's doing like a step back fadeaway from the mid-range area around the nail? Like, no one's going to be able to stop that. He's too tall and he's too long. So I love seeing that, and I hope that he continues to hone in on those skills, and the mid-range continues to be a big part of what he tries to do on the offensive end. And I mean, I want to keep this positive, but another part that I would like to see him kind of figure out is like his floater. Like, it's kind of flat all the time. He doesn't get a lot of arc on it, and without any arc, like, a lot of them just kind of rim out. And I mean, Scottie, he does a really good job of getting some pop on it, you know, some arc on it. I'd like to see Pascal work on that a little bit. That'd be really cool if he's able to figure that out. If not, it's okay. But we got to give Pascal a bit more time. But the early signs are that he's going to be back to that top 30 range as a player. And if he's back to there, it's great things for their offense. And then the defense is surely going to come. OG Anunoby, if you told me that he would be hitting step back threes and one-legged shots at the beginning of the season, I mean, geez, like, I probably wouldn't believe you. To be fair, right? I did not think that that was going to be possible. He's very quiet during the offseason. He doesn't really post a lot, so we had no idea what he was working on or how what kind of progress he was making. And he came into the season. He had a huge opportunity with Pascal out, and he really embraced it. And he was showing us the variety of ways that he's able to score. And I mean, the ways that he's able to do it now, it's like there really isn't a spot that he can't score from, because all great offensive players have like spots. You hear so many of the greats say like, oh, I got to my spot and I made my shot. He's got so many spots on the court now. He's very confident across all areas of the floor. And it's one of the things that I didn't think that he's going to be able to get to, or at least this quickly. You know, he's still early on in his NBA career, but he's here now. And honestly, like, the step back threes are crazy. Like, there was a shot he hit against Portland, and it was early on in the game, and Norm was guarding him. He was posting up Norm up, and he hit this like fadeaway one-legged shot, and Norm was just like, oh, that's happening now. Okay. Interesting. And I had the same reaction too, Norm. Because I couldn't believe that he was able to do that. I mean, he hit a couple of similar shots earlier on the season, but that shot was deep and he hit it. So, I mean, nothing but good things to say about OG so far. And they're clearly missing him. You talk about spacing on the floor, and I mean, the importance of it. OG's versatility on the offensive end and defensive end, being able to guard multiple positions, being able to score from multiple spots on the court, it's all being missed at the moment. I mean, a great example actually is like OG, he can play the small five, right? He can play a small ball five, and he has the strength to do it. And just last night, I don't know if you guys watched it, but Jaren Jackson Jr. hit a game winner against the Utah Jazz. And the play breakdown was, you know, Ja Morant, he's driving to the bucket, Rudy Gobert helps, and Ja Morant found Jackson Jr. on the three-point line, and he hit the shot, right? And having someone like that at your disposal really does change how the defense has to guard you as a team. And it was another example in that Golden State game, right? There, the floor was so small because the Raptors had Kem Birch and Scotty Barnes out there. And that's just not good for their offense. I mean, they're great players, obviously. We're going to talk about both of them in a second, but it doesn't exactly open the floor. And you look at what Golden State's doing. I mean, they got both their players like pretty much standing on the end lines on the corners. And then you just have these high pick and rolls happening well before the three-point line because Steph has that kind of range. And like, there's just so much space at all times. And the Raptors, they can't mimic that because they don't have enough shooters, because OG's out. And also, I mean, Utah's not here, and we're going to talk about them in a minute too. They're both hopefully going to be returning for the Grizzlies game. If not that, it could be the one after that. But yeah, OG is very important because he can guard 1 through 5. He is one of the only players, I mean, that term is kind of thrown around a lot, but he is truly one of the few players that can actually guard 1 through 5. And so you're missing him quite a bit. He's everything that we could hope for. And what a bargain that contract was. I don't know how Masai did it, but I'll take it. But as he continues to hone his offensive game, I mean, his ability to knife into the lane and find open shooters, his head's always up, which is just tremendous awareness on his part. I mean, there's a few cases before Pascal returned where he's, you know, knifing into the lane and then he's kicking it out to open shooters. And the Raptors offense, it looked pretty good when he was driving because he was finding the open shooters and he's making the right plays. So having him back is going to be crucial, but you got to be excited about what OG is going to be this year and the years to come, because he's going to be a force. No doubt about it. Let's move on to another player who's going to be a force, and that is Scotty Barnes, who's slumping a little bit at the moment. You know, I think that's fair to say that Scotty's having some trouble here and there with his game. And right now he's actually, this is a good stat from Joshua Howe. You can find him on Twitter. At Florida State last year, Scotty Barnes played a grand total of 595 minutes in 24 games. And this season, through 15 games with Toronto, he's already logged 530 as a full-time starter. So I'm sure his legs are a little bit heavy at the moment. He doesn't maybe have as much pop as he had earlier on the season. And I mean, teams are figuring them out. And they're also figuring out Scotty, that, you know, his limits within his range at the moment, the fact that he doesn't have too much confidence in his three-point shot, his putbacks aren't nearly as available. And so this is going to be part of his NBA maturation. But overall, he's still one of the leading candidates at the moment for Rookie of the Year. You see those graphics go around and he's still up there. And you just have to be so impressed by his passing ability. He picked up the pace of the NBA a lot faster than I thought he would. He's still, you know, he has his games where he's turned the ball over quite a bit, but the way he's able to pass the ball in transition and the reads he's able to make are extremely impressive. He's got this ability about him, man. Like, it's a basketball IQ that you can't teach. It takes years for players to learn that and to be able to think at the speed of the NBA. And he's already able to do it. It took him a couple games, right? So he's wise beyond his years in that area. And, you know, his touch around the bucket is another area that's been really, really impressive. He's just got this knack for just getting the ball in the hoop. Granted, it helps that he's like, you know, that size, that stature. He does have the mismatch quite a bit down there, but there's a lot of bodies down in the paint, and he's able to continue to finish, which is, it's been an impressive part of his game. I just talked about Pascal's inability at times to get the ball in the hoop because he does his lack of pop in his floaters. And, you know, Scotty kind of has that down to some degree. Lots of room for growth, but he's got an ability to focus in those situations, and he's got a calm about him that is truly going to make him a special player and a special finisher in the NBA as he continues to figure out his game. His three-point shot is still a bit of a struggle, and I think that's one of the areas Nick Nurse has talked about, that he wants Scotty to help. He wants him to shoot, like, you know, four threes, right, in some situations. And I think Scotty, I mean, I'm sure he'd like to as well, but what makes Scotty unique is that he doesn't want to do things that aren't exactly going to help the offense. And he knows that if he takes four three-point shots, you know, percentages are that he's going to make one of them. But if he takes a step in and then he shoots, now he's a lot more comfortable and there's a higher percent chance that those balls are going to go in. And so he's been lending towards doing those. But against the Warriors, he took a few more threes, and I'm sure those are going to come in time. And as Nick Nurse also mentioned as well, that the quicker he's willing to take those shots, the quicker he's going to make them. So if we get there, you know, the Raptors are going to be able to extend their extend the floor a little bit, create more space for everyone. And that's going to be very helpful for their offense. So I wanted to continue to see Scotty do that, man. It's really key that he gets that three-point shot going. But on the defensive end, obviously he struggled a little bit over the past little while. Teams are exposing his lack of awareness at times on the defensive end. You know, he's not the best team defender at the moment. Things are kind of, he's heads on a swivel sometimes. He's not really sure where to go. It's not just him. It's a few players on the Raptors. A lot of guys don't know exactly where to go. There have been a lot of cases where you got, you know, two guys closing up to the same shooter, and then there's one more pass to the corner. All of a sudden, someone's got a wide open shot. It's part of the process with this, but it probably doesn't help that there's so many players learning this at the same time. And so it's making things a lot trickier for Scotty to pick up all these skills, but he's going to get there. I mean, you look at his face right now, and it's sad in a way because he's kind of losing his spirit. You know, he's a very vibrant guy, and losing hurts him. Losing is not something he's used to, but you love that it's bothering him that much. I'll say that. You love how much this is affecting him because he's not used to losing to this degree. And so that's going to make him figure this out even faster because he's motivated. He doesn't want to be the reason why they're lacking on the defensive end or why they're not able to pull up play to their potential. He wants to be the reason they're winning games. And he was doing that earlier on the season. But, you know, teams, like I said, teams are figuring out who the Raptors are, what Scotty's deficiencies are, and they're going to expose them. It's the reality of the NBA, and he's going to continue to learn about that. But you got to love his ability to, yeah, his charisma, man. He continues to play. He's going to keep on playing. He's going to keep on fighting. And that charisma that I mentioned and that willingness to learn is going to be the reason why he figures this out a lot faster than maybe some other players would. So let's switch to Gary Trent Jr., right? And he's a player who has accepted his role within the Raptors. And maybe you've heard me on previous podcasts, but role acceptance when it comes to winning is so crucial because if everyone's not exactly clear on what their responsibilities are, it creates problems on both ends of the court. And Gary, you know, he didn't do this as much maybe last season because, I mean, the Raptors also didn't encourage it necessarily. He was an RFA. Nick has mentioned this, but that they didn't really have an exit interview because he was an RFA. So you can't really tell a player, hey, we want you to do this off season because you don't know if they're going to play for you next season. But when he did meet Nick in Vegas after he re-signed with the Raptors, Nick said, this is what we want you to do. We want you to be a monster on defense. We want you to improve your catch and shoot percentages. I think I've mentioned this before on the pod, but the fact that Gary was so willing to do that and that he's kind of exceeded expectations in both of those areas is really impressive. Like he's such a good match for the Toronto Raptors. He wants to play an aggressive style of defense.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And the Raptors say, we want you to play an aggressive style of defense. It's our identity, it's your identity. So let's shake hands on this and let's go. And that's what's happened. And Gary's embraced that role. And I'm sure he's worked a little bit with Fred and OG about how to anticipate and read how some players are, you know, handling the ball and look at film and look at where players are kind of resting the ball and they're when they're in their triple threat position, like stuff like that. And he's used that to his advantage. And then offensively, I mean, we saw what he's able to do last season in that last 20 games or so after the Norm Powell trade, that Gary has some real pop in the half court. He's able to create in ways that not many Raptors can. Like his step back is absolutely beautiful. It is truly something to behold. He's able to hit it from three, mid-range, wherever, and he can get it off from against anyone. Doesn't matter who it is. He's able to create that space, and it's a decent shot for him. Now, his volume at sometimes can be a little bit concerning. I mean, look at that Golden State Warriors game. He shot 3-16, but hey, before that, in the 10 games prior, he has shot like 46%, and he was making really smart decisions in that Warriors game. I mean, the Raptors are asking him to take on a bit more of an offensive role with OG out, but what he stopped doing in some ways was that he wasn't kind of making the extra pass. He wasn't reading the defense in the same ways, and he wasn't being as much of a willing passer. And so there were a lot of cases where he was taking shots, and they were tough contested shots, but really, I mean, there was an open player in a corner or around the 45 or you know, top of the key or whatever it is. Like there were players available, and he just wasn't making that decision. But I'll live with some of those if this is part of the growing pains for him, because you see so much upside in his scoring ability. Like straight up, man, his ability to recreate in the half court, like it's a rare ability, especially for the Toronto Raptors, to be able to get your shot off wherever you are inside the three-point line, and there's a decent chance that it's going to go in. And when he gets going, it's an exciting thing to see, because you feel like every single shot's going to go in. That's where I want him to get to, is that I want to feel like every single catch and shoot shot he takes is going to go in. It was like Danny Green, right, when he was with the Raptors. I mean, not always, because playoffs are a whole different thing, but during the regular season, anytime Danny had that open three around the baseline, there was this anticipation around his shot, because he just felt like it was going to go in. And I want to get to that point with Gary Trent Jr. And I've had those moments a couple of times over these past like 10 games or so, because he is such a prolific shooter and he's able to get buckets and bunches. And I imagine that he's going to get into a spot once they're healthy, that's going to be a little bit more comfortable for him. But I do want Nick to carve out time for him to be a dynamic scorer. And there was I can't remember the game actually, but it was towards the end of a third quarter. And it was Gary and the bench for like, you know, 5-6 minutes. And Gary just cooked, man. He was just making things happen. And he was a shot maker. He was the threat. He was leading to offense for his teammates. I like what he offers on the offensive end. I think it's really important the Raptors have it, that catch and shoot ability. And you have to be happy with what he's offered so far this season. So let's move on to some of the bigs. And we'll start with Ken Birch, as advertised. Defensively, he does a great job of limiting the space of players when it comes to the pick and roll, you know, tagging rollers and understanding how you to play those two-on-one situations when, you know, the point guard is trailing and now, you know, Kem is in a spot where he has to guard the point guard and he has to guard the big. Playing those angles properly is a real skill, and he's very good at that. And that's one of the things that I just absolutely love about him, is that he can be a force on the defensive end, not in all matchups, you know, in situations where maybe the big's a little bit smaller, he's a stretch five, he's got to play on the perimeter. Those aren't situations where you really want Kem to be exactly, but when it comes to just playing the center position, he is so fundamentally sound, and he's going to win them games. But offensively, I mean, he's not really shooting threes like I was hoping that he would. Nick has encouraged him to shoot them, and, you know, he's not really, I guess, comfortable doing that pull, pick, and pop thing. He obviously has his floater, and he's pretty good at it. And I would love to see him just being more willing to shoot threes, because it's going to help the Raptors in the long run. But his floater is very nice. It's very pretty. He's got a nice two-man game with Fred that I mentioned earlier. And another thing about Kem is that he makes really, really fast decisions. And when it comes to offense, I mean, we know with anything, right? Like, look at the Warriors offense we just saw. Everything is happening like quick, 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 very fast. And with Kem, he's a person who's going to help that ball keep on moving. He's going to look. He's going to see if he's got an opportunity. And then otherwise, he's going to get the ball moving. It's similar to like what Marc Gasol did, right? You got to keep that pace up with your offense, because if you don't, you're allowing the defense to adjust. And in those short roll situations, I trust him a lot to at least promote ball movement or at least get a decent shot out of it. It would be great if he was able to, you know, be like absolutely a hundy on his floaters, because I feel like teams are now more willing to give Kem that shot. But it's okay. It's okay. You know, he has his role. He has his job. And also, I mean, as he outlined for us, I mean, it's cool to hear a player say this, that he does not care about scoring. The man said this. He says, I don't care about scoring. I had to score last season because I was in a contract year, but now this season I get to be go back to who I am as a player. And that is a person who just wants to win games. So if I get 20, you know, that's cool. But I just want to win games. That is so nice to hear from a center. Really, it is. It really, really is. Because you think about all the centers in the NBA, or at least the bigs that we've seen over time, where they get kind of pouty about not getting the ball, because obviously when they're playing in the post, they don't, they need the ball given to them. And Kem's just not that guy. Like, he's going to just keep his head down. He's going to get his lunch pail and he's going to go in there and he's going to do his best. And that's why the Raptors want him. He's a great player for the culture. And that's why they brought him back. So Kem has done his job. And as the Raptors figure out their chemistry on the defensive end, I think he's going to be even more of a monster. All right, let's move to Precious Achiuwa. All right, the guy who is showing Miami that, man, I had more. I had more to give, and you guys didn't want it, but the Raptors did, and that's why they got me in that Kyle Lowry sign-in trade, and now here I am. He has shown us that he has a lot more to his game at his young age of 22 years old, and you have to be excited about what is the future, what the future is for him. I mean, you look at his ability to run the floor and rebound, play with physicality. Like, the Raptors missed his physicality a lot when he was out. It's kind of an unheralded part of defense, but you got to be able to throw the first punch sometimes. You got to be able to let a team feel you and let them know that this is going to be kind of a rough night, or that we're going to compete and we're going to make you deal with us. And he does a great job of that, man. It's an ability that you don't really see in the stat sheets, but you kind of feel it on the court. And Precious makes sure that the other team knows that this is who I am. This is where it's going to happen. And you're going to wake up and you're going to feel my wrath, right? It's nice to have players who can do that, especially at his skill set, because he's a person who has a lot of skill. Like, I mean, right now his 3-point shot is still in the works. He's got, I think he's shooting 24% from three at the moment, a little bit more shot discipline at times, tends to be a little bit of a chucker sometimes. That's okay though. That's okay. It's okay. Right. This is part of his growth as a player, but you really got to love his willingness to leverage his speed. Like, he is pedal to the metal as soon as he steps on the floor, and he's beating the other team down the floor in a lot of cases. And he's able to get himself some transition layups. And those are easy buckets for the Raptors. They want to play in transition, and Precious kind of helps that get going. And the Raptors need that because, you know, as we've seen, the half court offense is going to labor at times. You know, I imagine they're going to probably even out at around, you know, between 10 to 15 range when it's all said and done. And so having some more transition buckets and in those turnover situations, especially in the pick and roll, having a big who's going to run past people is very beneficial. So he's been terrific. And when it comes to, you know, getting better on the defensive end, it's great to hear that he's trying to use Kem. It's a sign of his humbleness that he's willing to go to another big and say, hey man, like I could use some help with this because I'm struggling with it. Again, 22 years old, hasn't been playing professionally very long. This is a sophomore season. And it's also humble on Kem's part to say, I got you. Let's work through this. Let's look at some coverages. Let's look at some film together and I can help you out. And when you think about the future of the NBA, you got to think that Precious, his ability to run the floor and block shots and play with physicality and hit threes, it's exactly what you want. Like, this is what you want from your center. As he improves these skills and becomes more steady in all of them, a little bit more consistent, he's going to be a monster, man. He's going to be so good for so long. And that's why you have to think, like, you have to be so excited about what all these 22-year-olds are going to be offering the Toronto Raptors. And speaking of 22-year-olds, let's talk about Delano Banton. Holy, man. Right? That's all I'm going to say. Holy. Tell me, where do you think Delano would have been drafted had he had this shooting ability on, you know, leading up to the draft? That's something that we have to think about, because I am almost certain it wouldn't have been 46th. He would have been a lot higher in the draft. I don't know how high, but a point guard at his size who can shoot the ball and pass and score and rebound and defend, it's a rare combination of skills, and the Raptors really got something with him. It has not been that long, but you look at what he's done already in NBA games, mind you. He's hitting pull-ups. He's hitting step-backs. He's hitting jumpers off pick and rolls. Like, these are situations where, like, many are a little bit uncomfortable with shooting the ball. I've talked about Scotty already, but Delano, like, he's doing these already, and he's got such a confidence in his abilities. And that's one of the reasons why he's here now, why the Raptors were willing to draft him and take a chance on him, because he's got so many raw skills. And then you combine that with his confidence in himself and his work ethic, obviously, because that's how he's been able to improve his jumper so quickly over just a few months with the Raptors. And you got something really special. And then I love seeing him go down to the G League and just cook people. One game, 30 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. I mean, the Raps got a homestand coming up. They're going to be in Toronto a lot in December. And I want to see him play all kinds of games down in the G League. You know, his minutes with the Raptors are going to be up and down, as they get a little bit healthier. And these are great opportunities for him just to go down there, score 30 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds. Go for 40. Go for 15 assists. Go for 15 rebounds. I don't care, man. Just keep on playing. This is going to make him such a stronger player and more confident in his shortcomings. And, you know, we have discussed already that his jumper has made strides, but there's certainly room to grow. And getting himself in game situations at different levels is going to help him work up his confidence to continue to strive for more. And as we know, Paramount Fine Food Center, they love Delano down there. Don't get me wrong. Let's not get that twisted. They love Delano Banton over there in Saga. Go down there and have fun. Right? Go down there and give people a show and show the Raptors that you 100% are A, deserving of being in the NBA, and B, show every team that passed on you, remind them again and again and again that you passed on me and you done messed up. I'm not going to swear. I mean, and defensively, like, he needs a bit of work. I mean, a lot of players on the Raptors need to work when it comes to their team defense. It's been well acknowledged. I've talked about it many times. Everyone's talked about it. But he's a problem to deal with in the one-on-one situations. Ask any player that's been guarded by him. He gets into people, and his length is a real problem. And, I mean, every team wants a point guard at his size. I'll put it that way. Every team wants that. And he's got the abilities on the defensive end to give anyone a problem. So I want to see him continue to hone that ability and continue to just be like that energy guy off the bench. Because Raptors need that, just like they need Precious to provide energy anytime he's on the floor. They need Delano to come in, be a spark plug, and just be a problem for the other team. And let every team should know that as soon as Delano Banton's coming in the game, that they better buckle up, because the pace is about to get rampant. Going to go real quick on some of the other players. Svi, I love Svi. He's like a Swiss Army knife. He can do kind of everything on the offensive end, shooting, driving, pick and roll actions. Passing, whatever, he can run the floor. Like, he can do all of these things. And I mean, his shot's pretty as hell too. And he was a great find for the Toronto Raptors. Many people put a limit on who he could be as a player, but not the Toronto Raptors, not himself. I would love to see him continue to get around 10, 15 minutes a game, especially when they're healthy, because you just need those kind of multi-tool players coming off your bench. Having guys who can do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but not everything is a problem. And defensively, I'm sure things are going to pick up for him. Chris Boucher, he's kind of finding himself still, 10 plus points in 3 of his last 5 games. So he's still figuring a few things out. I still do prefer to see him at the center position. He struggled a little bit at being power forward and understanding, reads and understanding angles and where to help, when to help. But then, the whole team is figuring that out at the moment. So, yeah, he's still kind of managing that. Malachi Flynn, not getting a lot of minutes right now. And I feel bad for him, man, because he should be like, this isn't about necessarily his abilities or inabilities. This is about Delano Banton pretty much just like taking the minutes and running with it because he's been so impressive. And so where do you find minutes for Malachi? I'm not really sure. And every game that goes by where he just gets like 2 minutes or something like that, and that's all there really is room for, it's concerning. But I hope with the Raptors, you know, if they're able to find like a bench lineup that kind of is a bit more stable, that's a bit more consistent, that could very well include, you know, Malachi. And it could be, you know, Malachi and Delano and Svi and a big and whoever. Like, if they're able to get a lineup that kind of works for them, then maybe that's a way that Malachi could get a few minutes. But at the moment, I don't know, man. It's going to be hard to find a spot where you can really give him some time. Is the G League an option? Do you consider that? I don't know. I'm not sure if that's something that really is going to benefit Malachi. It's not the same as kind of Delano. Like, Malachi did a lot of that last season. He really is just a person who needs minutes. That's it. Just needs minutes. And I'm not sure where they're going to come from. Blowouts, I suppose, on either end, a Raptor blowout or the Raptors on the receiving end of a blowout. I don't know, man. I guess I wanted to be more positive about him, but he is a great player. He's a great player. There just really isn't a spot for him to get steady minutes at this time. I don't know. It is kind of what it is. I feel for him. Shifting to Utah. And what's interesting about Utah is that his value has increased and he hasn't even played a regular season game yet. But if anything, that from what we've seen over the past few weeks of the Raptors, you know, all the cases where they're, you know, they're the leaky defense and they're not, you know, the rebounding issues and they're not picking up guys in transition, Utah does all of that. And he does it at a high, high level. So this is why the Raptors wanted to bring him back. This is why they brought him back, is that he is so fundamentally sound. And he's going to be someone who's going to demand a lot of minutes. And there are some players who are just not going to get a lot of minutes because Utah is coming in. He's coming in hot. So I'm excited to see him get back on the court. All right, so closing up the podcast now, I would say the same words that Vince Carter said, and that is patience is a virtue. I hate when Vince said it because he said it alluding to an impending trade out of Toronto. But I'm saying it now in a more positive light because patience is a virtue when it comes to what the Raptors are going to be this season. I think there's a lot of room for growth, and we just got to see them healthy, man. Like, they're just doing so many things that aren't characteristic of what this team's going to be, like the lapses in transition, they're not picking up guys. There's just so much leaky coverage across the board. And I just don't think that's going to be how the Raptors are going to play for the rest of the season. And then when it comes down to it, you know, if you have some issues with the Raptors defense, it's completely fair. And I'm sure at some point, once Nick Nurse gets a decent sample size of who this team is and the players that they have and how the coverages are going, he's going to make some, you know, judgment call on his end. But if this team is going to be successful this year, and that would mean like, you know, a top six position or somewhere in that play-in conversation, they're going to need their defense to step up. That is their identity. That is who they are. They're a defense first team. And let's give them a shot. Let's give them a shot to figure this out. That is the podcast. That was a lot to take in, but I hope that this kind of gave you something to smile about, because there is a lot to like about the Raptors from a player-by-player basis. And as they get healthy, as they get better at their coverages, as they figure out what their identity is, I think we're going to be really excited at what this team's going to be. And I think that's going to happen this season. It's not going to happen in a few years. It's going to happen now. So thank you for listening. Again, please do rate, review, and subscribe. You can find me on Twitter at @Amit_man. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.